It's time for Firearm Friday, a podcast dedicated to bringing together the firearm industry and community. Now here's your host, from the great state of Texas, the tactical leprechaun himself, Chris Dover.
Welcome to Firearm Friday. I am your host, Chris Dover, and this week we're going to be talking with Roy from Brownells. But first, let's talk a little bit about the Hunter's HD Gold shooting glasses. Now, Hunter's HD Gold is trusted by many shooting sports competitors across the country, and there are good reasons why. These shooting glasses are high-tech, they're built to last, and they offer exceptional protection for your eyes, along with potential health related benefits as well. You can read more about these glasses over at huntershdgold.com. All right, crew, help me welcome this week. We've got Roy from Brownells in the house. How are you, Roy?
How's it going?
Doing well. Are you you guys on lockdown?
Sorta. In fact, the Iowa situation is going to change tomorrow, Friday. The governor's going to, as announced, and there'll be a press conference. We're going to get our restaurants back with reduced capacity. We're going to get hair salons back. There's a whole list: gyms, health facilities. I mean, workout facilities are all going to reopen. So there's a whole lot of things that are going to reopen starting tomorrow.
Nice. That's really nice. And so, how's that affected? I mean, obviously, I mean, on a personal level, like everybody else, it's one of the situations where I know with me not being able to go out, my wife and I like to go out at least once a week, you know, and have a sit down meal and, you know, just get away from the house and away from everything. And that's where, and it, we tried the takeout, and takeout sucks. I'm talking great restaurants that I love to eat at. And
the food's different, huh?
That's the mark, I think, of is it really good food or is just the ambiance of sitting down in the restaurant, because you get the takeout and it's crappy.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to eventually getting out and getting into a restaurant and having a sit down meal myself.
Right. Well, I'm an extrovert, so I've been a little bit kooky at home. Tomorrow will be the end of week 9 of working from home for me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And is that where most of the Brownells workforce? I mean, do they do that, or how are they managing, Brownells managing all of this?
Well, Brownells has never stopped the whole thing. Folks who are able to work from home, there's no requirement, but a lot of us have chosen to work from home. My wife and I actually both work at Brownells. She's a graphic designer. I do public relations. But the warehouse has been rocking and rolling the whole time. And in fact, we saw some pretty good spikes and stuff for like ammo, especially a few weeks ago. I mean, it's not as crazy as it was, but for about a week and a half, stuff like 9mm would come in, it'd go into stock and be gone an hour later.
Yeah. And then we had some craziness in the middle of all that where California opened up there for a short period of time too.
Yeah, California for a day or two before another judge filed another piece of paperwork to put a stop. But there was one judge who said, "Hey, your background check law on ammo requiring everybody who buys ammo, even like a box of 22, it has to go through a background check equivalent of a NICS check, basically." And the problem was they were getting, I don't remember the exact number, but it was something like 16% false positives. So they were denying a lot of people their ability to buy ammo who should have been able to buy ammo. And so one judge put a stop to it. And for a very, very short window, we were actually able to sell straight to California residents. We did a press release about it. We did some announcements on a website. And then within it was a day or two later, I don't even think it was a complete 48 hours, another judge filed another piece of paperwork and put a stop to it. But keeping up with it on the internet, I understand the fight continues. Mm-hmm. I know one of the people who brought legal action against it is Kim Rohde, the 6-time Olympian. Mm-hmm. And I can see absolutely where that would affect her a whole lot, because I'm sure she shoots a pallet of shot shells a week.
Oh, at least. Yeah.
And so I know there's more legal wrangling and maneuvering, and that situation's not done, but we'll just have to see what happens with that.
Right. Now, they gave – so Brownells, if you weren't, I guess, essential in their eyes, like shipping and obviously some of that stuff, that they gave you the choice, I guess, then to
– Oh, yeah. Well, we're all essential. But
Yeah, that was a bad choice of words, but you get what I'm saying. I mean, you got to be, obviously you got to be in the warehouse to ship the product.
You got to be in the warehouse to ship the product. And a lot of the things I do on the internet or working with industry media or et cetera, I just need a computer and an email account. Mm-hmm. A whole lot of the stuff I do or a smartphone and I'm good to go. So I'm one of the folks who didn't necessarily have to come into the office. My wife's a graphic designer. We both, and I won't get into any details, I'll just say we both fit more than one enhanced risk category for COVID-19.
Okay.
We're trying to go low and slow and reduce our exposure as much as possible.
Right. And I think that's the deal. Instead of all this mass shutting down and stuff like that, I think the people if they are at risk, then yes, they need to take those precautions.
Right.
If you're healthy and you don't think you have any risk or whatever, do what, you know, it's freedom and liberty, right? Do what you want to do.
I couldn't agree more. Right. One of the things that I've noticed, and I've posted a couple things on Facebook, et cetera, is that there's been a growing body of evidence with antibody tests. I know there's some question of how accurate are the antibody tests, are they accurate or not, but there's all sorts of evidence that the antibody tests are showing that 50, 60, or 70% of the people who get this thing never ever know they have it. They're asymptomatic. Even Cuomo, Governor Cuomo of New York, put out a piece of evidence that they did in New York. They did a 15,000 person antibody study, and based on that, they estimate like 19% of New York City has already had it.
Wow!
Which is like, at the time, that's like 1.3 million people. And at the time, there was only 3 million confirmed cases worldwide. So the other thing was that there was like 13% of the entire state of New York, which is, of course, going to be several million people. Antibody tests indicate they'd already had it. And there's been antibody tests in Chicago. There have been in two different places in California, New York, et cetera. So I think there's a growing body of evidence that many of us, maybe even you and I, we've had it.
Right.
And never, ever knew we had it because we didn't have any symptoms. So well, I'm going to test it as soon as I can.
I know I got sick as a dog coming back from SHOT Show. And I mean, everybody gets sick at SHOT Show. So I'm not saying that's it. I'm not claiming I had it, but I just know that I got sick as a dog on the way back from SHOT Show. Mm-hmm. And the symptoms and the duration and everything that happened was really similar to what I'm hearing.
Right.
So,
I'm SHOT Show because I was in Las Vegas, but I wound up confined to my bed in my hotel room for 3 days and wound up in an emergency room. And I didn't think it was that because my symptoms were mostly gastrointestinal. Mm-hmm. But I've read an article in the last month or so saying that about 25% of cases, that's the symptom you get.
Wow.
So, I don't know. So antibody testing is not available to just everybody here in Iowa, not that I know of yet. I know they were going to make it available, and they've got a tiered structure. People who have fever and cough get it first, blah, 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 get tested. And then they're going to roll out the antibody testing to folks who don't have any symptoms later. So as soon as I hear that, hey, you can go get tested, I'm going to go get tested and find out.
Yeah, I am too. I'm very curious. Now, I don't know if this is something you can speak to or not. You're talking about mm-hmm. brownells in the workforce and all that, but is it safe to assume that there wasn't any layoffs related to the shutdown and everything that's going on?
Brownells is operating like always.
Okay. And that's great because there's so many people out there hurting because of various things going on.
Like restaurants or hotels or anything that depends on a large gathering of people in public. Yeah.
Well, and what's crazy to me, my wife works in the medical field. Thankfully, she works at a prison unit and they ain't going to close the prisons down. But, if she'd worked in the hospital environment, especially, they're furloughing doctors and nurses and all kinds of stuff. And that's something you've never seen before. That's typically a pretty steady profession.
And they're furloughing because in so many states they declared that the hospitals could only treat COVID-19 or extreme life-threatening emergencies. So a lot of stuff that's neither one of those, they just couldn't do. And they just haven't. I mean, there's several stories in several states of the big emergency coronavirus field expedient hospitals they set up. Mm-hmm. They've closed those down because they didn't get a single patient, or they've sent the hospital ships home from New York, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. Right. So, and it's not surprising. I mean, you know, I've always looked on Brownells as a great company ran by some great people. And so it's not surprising that they would take care of their own and that sort of stuff. Now, as far as you, how long have you been with Brownells?
8 years in January.
Wow. Okay. So you've been around the block a little bit.
I've been some places. Yep.
And what exactly is kind of your day to day? What do you do for them?
My official title is public relations and media relations. So, I work a lot with, endemic, if you will, gun community media, Guns and Ammo magazine, the folks with the different magazines and et cetera, et cetera. And then also Brownells, one of the things we're really, really proud of is we have a whole lot of connections in the social media world too. YouTubers, for example, here I'm on your YouTube channel.
Right.
Instagrammers, Facebookers, folks writing for various blogs, news sites. It pretty much, I try to have a really good working relationship with as many different people making as much different firearms related content as possible.
Right. Cast a wide net.
As wide as possible. And that just very much goes with Brownells, the way we're structured. For folks who don't know about Brownells, we sell around about 110,000, firearms and firearms related products combined. So that's about 5,000 different models of guns. And by firearms related products, I mean things even down to like individual springs that go into 1911 or something, or a Glock. We've got about 110,000 products. It varies every week. We pick up some products and we drop some products that don't sell very well. And we have approximately around 2,600 vendors, different companies. So we like everybody. Okay.
Right.
And we want a lot of folks to like us too, but we have really good relationships with about 2,600 different companies.
Right. And I do want to get into some of talking about the products that have come in mm-hmm. and came out. I want to get to that a little later on though, probably sure. as we talk about the history and stuff. But back to sort of you and what you were talking about with working with the magazines and the different aspects of media or medium. Mm-hmm. Do you see any type of trends? I mean, is magazines still as relevant as do you think as they used to be?
I obviously I don't think they're as relevant as they were, say, 20, 25 years ago. I've always been a gun guy. I've been a gun guy since I was like 7 or 8 years old. I used to have back when it was called Shotgun News, for example, I used to have it in a room in my house as late as 10 years ago, 15 years ago, a stack of Shotgun News like 5 feet deep.
Wow.
Right. And subscribe to several different gun magazines, or every time I went to a grocery store or a bookstore, hey, I haven't seen that gun magazine, go buy that one. Of course, you've seen a lot of things shifting to online publication, even a lot of the big familiar gun magazines, they also have an online edition. Mm-hmm. And then seeing more and more things going online. And then, of course, you have things like Ammo Land. I'm sure some of your audience.
Kind of like your news based.
Right, right. Still right. Articles very much online, yeah. Ammo Land. And then, of course, you've got all the various kinds of folks who create gun related content on YouTube, on Instagram, on Facebook. We're seeing some folks produce some stuff on TikTok.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And then who knows what the next great big digital social media thing will pop up out there. There's always new technology coming, but of course the movement is certainly toward a digital. But gun magazines, there's still a strong audience for gun magazines. I don't think it's like it was 30 years ago because the internet just didn't exist. But I still think there's a dedicated following for the actual paper magazine.
And there's that's probably by the publication. I'm thinking.
Right.
I'm just going off of my own kind of personal experience. For example, I mean, I've still got a subscription to Handloader magazine, mm-hmm. for example. I like the tangible paper.
Right.
You know, yeah, you can get that stuff online or whatever, but if I'm reloading, if I'm doing this, I can grab something off a shelf, flip it open, look at it, make a note in there. Mm-hmm. There's something about having that tangible copy.
Right.
That's nice. And I'm sure for some people, yeah, they have that connection to certain publications too. So there'll always be at least a small place for it. I don't think it'll go away completely.
Right. And in the outdoor mag, I don't remember what this one was called. We were also one of the organizations I attend their yearly events called the Professional Outdoor Media Association. I remember there was a publication about fly fishing that they were taking a slightly different approach. So it was a big, thick, huge, glossy magazine. The magazine itself was like $20. Uh-huh. But it was sold almost as a luxury item and very much an experience just getting the magazine.
Right. Now I am I'm a member of POMA.
Oh, cool.
I'm a voting member.
Have you been to POMA before?
We probably have crossed paths. Were you at the no, you didn't make SHOT Show, so you were definitely weren't at the luncheon there. I'm a recent member. I haven't been a member but for about a year.
Okay, so you didn't go to Wichita last year, did you?
No. They're supposed to do some kind of virtual conference, I think, this year.
Yeah, set for Franklin, Tennessee, yeah.
So we're looking to see. I was pretty much set to go to that. I was want to go.
I would have met you in person there, yeah.
Because there's a lot of good people in that and a lot of diversity. You talk about the fly fishing and, man, there's mm-hmm. saltwater fishing and all mm-hmm. kinds of outdoor stuff. And mm-hmm. it's not just firearms. So it's really interesting to get the different perspective of the different people that are doing different things in the outdoor niche. It's crazy.
Right. Firearms are absolutely associated with that because, I mean, in the POMA logo, there's a hook and a bullet in the logo, right? And that's how POMA got started, was a group of outdoor media folks who didn't like the direction of a certain other classic old outdoor media association because they felt it was being taken over by folks like bird watchers and backpackers and canoers. And there's some history there. But they broke off and formed their own organization 15, 16 years. It's been a while.
Yeah.
And to show their dedication to traditional outdoor sports, there's actually a hook and a bullet both in the POMA logo. Yeah.
Right. And I think it's a great organization. It's all about when you're in what you do and then what mm-hmm. I do and others, it's all about mm-hmm. networking and meeting people and talking to people, having building that contact list. And POMA mm-hmm. is excellent for that. A lot of good people are members. Yes. There's a lot of good people that help and assist and work inside the organization. Just all around great thing, I think.
I absolutely agree. And there's folks we've met at POMA like 6 or 7 years ago who are folks we still have very good working relationships with. But yeah, it's absolutely vital and important. You got to go meet people. I mean, as cool as the internet, I mean, here we are having this conversation over the internet, but someday I hope I meet you in person. You know, we go have a drink together.
Yeah, it's not as good as a half hug and a fist bump.
We have to practice, with the mouth and
social distance,
elbow bump. Yeah.
Elbow bump. Maybe that'll all be over by then. Let's hope.
I sure hope so.
Fingers crossed, man. We lost the NRA annual meeting, which sucks. Yes. I lost, I work media. I don't know if you're familiar with the Wanamaker Gun Show in Tulsa.
Oh, yeah. But, I used to live like an hour and a half from there. Yep.
Yeah, that's the largest gun show in the world. I've worked media for that for, good Lord, 4 years now, something like that.
Oh, man.
And so they canceled that, of course, in April. It's every April, every November. Let me get my phone off here. But every April, every November, of course, they canceled it. So I missed in April. I missed NRA and I missed that. So you talk about the networking and that one-on-one FaceTime and everything else. And it sucks when you're doing this kind of thing and you miss that. You know?
Yes.
It does hurt. So fingers crossed that we get over this. Things are coming back, as you said, there where you're at. Things are coming back in Texas, and hopefully by SHOT Show.
I sure hope so.
If we miss a SHOT Show, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
I'm going to freak out.
SHOT Show will happen.
Right.
I sure hope so.
So let's talk, shift gears a little bit, Roy, and talk a little bit about the history of Brownells. I kind of want to get in there because they've been around forever.
Brownells got started as a business that the business that we recognize today in 1939. One of the things I'm very privileged to do at Brownells is among my official duties, I give a tour. And of course, when you give the tour, you got to come up and take the tour sometime.
Do they make you wear a blazer?
Not a blazer, but we do have a little visitor's badge. You got to click.
Okay.
Not a blazer. No, we're not that formal. I mean, I'm wearing a t-shirt and a hat.
I hear you.
Sometimes I go to work like this, man. Sometimes I go to work in the building like
that. Right.
But Brownells, our founder, excuse me, our founder's name was Bob Brownell. And Bob was a native of Iowa. Brownells is a third generation family-owned Iowa company. Are you familiar with Iowa at all?
Not too much.
We're real easy to find because in Iowa, over on the western side of the state, you've got Des Moines, the capital, and over on the eastern side of the state, you've got Iowa City, where the University of Iowa is, and I-80 runs in a straight line between them. And currently, Brownells is located in Grinnell, Iowa, which is pretty much an hour from Des Moines or an hour from Iowa City. So we're right smack dab in the middle. One way to do it is to go to, if you're coming from the south, is go to Des Moines and turn right, or go to Iowa City and turn left, or just get on I-80 and go east or west, depending on where you're at. And eventually you'll get to exit 182. That's where Brownells is.
Right.
Brownells started in 1939. Our founder's name was Bob. Bob was an entrepreneur with various types of businesses. His first, probably not even his first thing, but one of his early ventures was he was running in Montezuma, Iowa, which is a little town about 15 or 16 miles south of I-80. Montezuma, Iowa, he was running a gas station and sandwich shop in Montezuma, Iowa on Highway 63. And now, of course, back in the 30s, that's before the interstate system is built. So I-80 nobody's even thought of I-80 yet, but it's one of the main north-south highways in the middle of the United States. So Bob's running his gas station and sandwich shop. One of the things I keep at my desk is a photocopy, and then the actual newspaper ad is over in the archives, but I found this and made a photocopy of it. It's from a Montezuma newspaper in 1937, and it's for the Brownells grocery store. So it's a little ad about like this, and it's got, you know, like potatoes are 28 cents a pound, right? Number two lead pencils are a nickel for 10 of them, right? Cheese is like 30 cents a pound, you know, 1937 prices.
Right.
But it's the Brownells grocery store in Montezuma. So Bob did all sorts of businesses, and he was also a gun guy. But he had a problem that he was diagnosed with what would probably today would be called Meniere's disease, which is an inner ear thing that the symptom is you get long bouts of debilitating dizziness. And he was also, based on the things that happened, he was probably also allergic to the alcohol fumes in car radiators at the time. Mm-hmm. So if you're running a gas station, a garage, and a sandwich shop, and you ever pop the lid on a radiator and you inhale the fumes and you're allergic to it, that'll knock you out too. So Bob, when he got laid out with his dizzy spells, he found he could still do small jobs on his chest as he was laying down. And one of the things he would do, small job on his chest as he's laying down, still trying to make money for his new family, is he worked on his buddy's guns. And he found that a lot of the things he needed to either work on the guns or to blue the guns or to fix the guns, a lot of the things either didn't exist or were impossible to get. And he figured that if he was having this trouble, other gunsmiths were having the same challenges. So he decided in 1939 to start supplying gunsmiths with some of the tools, the fixtures, and the chemicals, and all that stuff. And in a couple of cases, he actually had to basically invent the product or the chemical. And I'm shifting back and forth because on my screen, I got this weird line. I don't know if you can see it. It goes right down the middle of my face.
A little bit. It's a light reflection. What are you going to do? Don't worry about it.
Okay, so I'll just go with it. Anyway, it just got annoying. It's, you know, it's splitting my face in half. But in like the case of Acroglass, I mean, that was a product that Bob developed that we're widely known for.
Oh, yeah.
In 1939, he started buying stuff to sell to other gunsmiths. A person who's still with us, his name is Frank Brownell, who was the head of Brownells for years and years, and Frank is now currently the chairman of the board. Frank also got started in 1939. So Frank, who I guess would be 81 coming up, he's still with us. He's chairman of the board. And he still maintains an office over in the Montezuma location because, again, Brownells got started in Montezuma. And then the business grew and grew and grew and grew. And then Frank grew up. Frank took over as head guy of the business. His father, Bob, moved into chairman of the board role. And our current CEO is Pete Brownell, who is Frank's son. And so it's a third generation family-owned business. Everybody associated with the business are gun culture to the core, born and raised in it, grown up in it. In fact, Frank, on our heritage wall in our retail store, we have a copy. I think it's the 19, I forget, I'll have to do the math real quick. I think it's the 1957 American Rifleman. There's a picture of young Frank mule deer hunting in Wyoming on the cover of American Rifleman in 1957.
Wow.
And Pete, same way. Pete came into the business. At first, he went and worked outside the business with as a manager in a huge construction company, Montgomery Cone, and then came back to the business. Gun culture to the core, born and raised in it. Most recently, he was actually president of the NRA Board of Directors for a year. Mm-hmm. Every one of the Brownells are high quality, wonderful people. I'm very fortunate to work for them. Frank still has an office at the Montezuma location. In fact, he has a house not far from the Montezuma location because when Frank was the head guy of the business, it was in Montezuma. We didn't move to Grinnell until just a few years ago when the business really expanded and we built a brand new facility on Interstate 80 for no reason, just to be closer to
logistics.
The logistics. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I started at the Montezuma facility. I started before the Grinnell facility, even the groundbreaking happened. And in the Montezuma facility, I think we had four or five truck bays. And at the Grinnell facility, we have 17 truck bays.
Wow.
So a little bit bigger operation in Grinnell. But been in business since 1939. For like the first 60 years or so, Brownells was dedicated largely as a gunsmith supply house. And again, I started in 2012. We had our first website in 2000, 1999 to 2000. And since I've joined the company, some of the huge changes that have happened, number one, we started selling complete whole firearms as a major product category. Mm-hmm. And if you get some old Brownells catalogs, you'll see like back in the, I believe in the 70s, we used to sell a few models of, I know, Ruger firearms, but nothing like we're doing now. And even when I first started in 2012, we sold things that were legally firearms, but they were AR-15 stripped lowers or right. Like Remington 700 stripped action. So technically, legally a firearm, but not something, you know, you could just load up and go shoot. You had to build
it. Not out of the box, right?
Not out of the box.
In other words, yeah.
Just a few years ago, we started firearms as a major product category. Last time I checked, I think we had around 5,000 different models of firearms. Wow. A year or so before I started, we started selling ammo as a huge product category. We have huge selection of ammo. another thing that started with the new facility is we actually now have a 7,000 square foot retail store. So if you're coming through I-80 and you want to stop, we actually have a retail store. And the coolest thing about the retail store is anything we sell on brownells.com, even if it's not displayed on the show floor, you can still order it and it'll show up to you at the cash register in about 10 minutes.
Wow.
Yep.
Because everything's right there.
Everything's right there.
What type of square footage is the store itself?
Store's about 7,000.
Okay.
It's good size for a gun store, but it's not huge. But right. It's attached to about a 233,000 square right. foot building. So
Yeah. Right. You know, it makes sense when you talk about the history and it starting with the, you know, gunsmithing supplies and stuff like that. Because mm-hmm. one thing that I can remember back into, good Lord, I mean, I don't want to tell my age here or nothing, but I'm thinking, you know, not terribly long ago for most people, but, you know, early 80s, something like that.
Right.
The Brownells logo has been the you know, the font that's used and the logo has been around for a very, very long time.
Right.
And so one thing that I remember is going into all these little gun shops, local gun shops and stuff like that, even back in like the early 80s as a kid, you know, mm-hmm. going in with dad or grandfather, mm-hmm. is seeing the Brownells products, the jugs of different stuff or right. the boxes of the different tools, right. all Brownells.
Or the big catalog laying on the counter.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Right. Yeah. Right. No, exactly. Yeah, right.
We still have the same font. There you go. Same font, but the RAM has changed a little bit. In fact, the RAM has been redone since I started working there.
Right.
Yeah. Our catalog number one, and this is part of the tour I give, Brownells Bob starts at 1939, and it's called Gunsmith Mart. Brownells Incorporated Gunsmith Mart. And we don't do our first catalog till 1947. It's because, of course, Nazi Germany kind of sort of invades Poland on September 1st, 1939. This little thing called World War II kicks off, and you know, bad stuff happens. And when the U.S. gets dragged in because of Pearl Harbor, paper rationing goes into effect. So it's kind of hard to put out a catalog if you got national paper rationing for the war effort. So in 1947, they finally put out the first catalog, catalog number one. And our classic Ram is on the cover of catalog number one. And it's the Ram. It's the really, really old school Ram. It's a doll sheep Ram, but it's the one inside the reticle with a scope with the crosshairs right behind the front shoulder. So, yeah, so it's the Ram with the crosshairs scope reticle on it is present from the very beginning as our catalog in 1947.
Yeah, wow. Now, jumping forward, kind of jumping around here a little bit, I guess, on talking about bringing in the firearms. I mean, that was a natural, the ammunition and the firearms, natural progression, right? Kind of a no-brainer.
Right. And as our website and our web presence grew, and we were figuring out how to do things, because, of course, a lot of people don't understand that there's a lot of misinformation floating around about buying guns on the internet. We can sell guns, but every gun we sell on the internet ships to an FFL somewhere. Mm-hmm. And one of the things on our website that we've done to try to streamline that is you can enter your zip code. You can pick out the gun you want, enter your zip code. We have a thing that'll check, can I buy this gun in my zip code? Because, of course, some states have restrictive laws where you can't buy an AR-15 with a 30-round mag. And if it says yes, you can then search for an FFL, and a little map will pop up, and you can set however many mile radius from your location, and it'll show you all the FFL holders. And folks who have agreed, who have written agreements with us to receive guns for customers on our behalf, they'll be marked in red. And it'll say the name of the gun store, their operating hours, what their transfer fee is. And you just put the gun in your electronic shopping cart and check out, just like you're buying anything else. And the gun will ship to that FFL automatically.
Right.
So a couple of 3 days later, you go down there and pick up your gun.
Yeah. Well, maybe, depending on what state you live in.
Yeah, depends. Yeah, you might have 10-day wait period.
Could be 10 days or 12 or who knows. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So with all of that, y'all have also got the retro series stuff and everything. Now, what was the idea behind some of that?
The retro guns are the brainchildren of our lead product guy. His name's Paul Levy. Paul Levy, very much a gun guy, really loves firearms history. Former member of the U.S. military, really, really into the history of Eugene Stoner and the platform note that we now know as the AR-15. And so I believe the SHOT Show 2018, we launched the first retro guns. And this was huge because we'd only been selling guns for a couple of years. And then this is the first time Brownells came out as a gun manufacturer ever in the history of the company. Mm-hmm. And what the retro rifles are, they're as close as we can get cosmetically correct examples of early Eugene Stoner pattern rifles. Some of the ones I like the best are the BRN-10s. The very first AR, of course, was the AR-10 in 7.62x51, or if you want to call it 308 Winchester, sure, close enough. But the first one was AR-10, 7.62x51, and it has the iconic charging handle that's trigger style, shaped like that in the top of the receiver. It doesn't have the one on the back. You have to reach over like that. So we've got that in the BRN-10A and the BRN-10B. One has brown furniture. One has black furniture. One looks more like, say, a Dutch or a Sudanese contract rifle. The other one looks more like, say, a Cuban rifle. Different profile barrels, different flash hiders. And, of course, the AR-15 was developed from that. We've got, out of the retros, probably my personal favorite is the BRN-601, which is a copy of the Colt 601. And by copy, I mean cosmetic copy.
Right.
No surplus parts, all modern manufacture, all modern materials, designed to accept as many modern AR-15 parts as possible. Cool things on the 601, it's got the triangular-shaped charging handle. So instead of the classic T, it's the charging hand, the part you grab is a triangle with serrations on it. You have to pinch it. pull it back. Just like the original one, the front pivot pin, the front takedown pin, is not captive in the gun. There's no magazine fence. There's no provision for a little system to hold it in there, like a spring and a detent. So you can pull out your front pivot pin, your front takedown pin, and lose it in the grass and have that authentic retro experience of losing your pivot pin.
Right.
We do, of course, sell extra pivot pins. We've got a copy of the XM16E1, which was the first M16 variant that was sent to Vietnam in large quantities. If you've seen the movie with Mel Gibson, We Were Soldiers, everybody in that, all the American troops in that are carrying XM16E1s. We've got the XBRN16E1. We've got the 16A1 copy with the closed flash hider and the full magazine fence. It's got the classic 20-inch barrel look and the hairy handle and all that stuff. We've got an XM177 carbine, which looks like one of the first Special Forces carbines. A couple of other interesting ones we have, the BRN605. The Colt 605 was never released to the public. It was the first experimental attempt at making a carbine out of an XM16E1. So it's got the rifle length gas system on a carbine barrel and then the classic triangle handguard. And I looked at that for the first time and said, boy, what a weird looking, goofy looking gun. Why would anybody get one of these? And I took it to the range and shot about 200 or 300 rounds through it. And I went, oh.
That's why.
That's why, because it weighs less than my M1 carbine, right. Okay? And it's a 223, and it kicks about this much because it's got that rifle length gas system on a shorty barrel. And it's fantastic. It's awesome. And then the latest one we came out with that's truly retro is we call it the Proto. So it looks like AR-15 serial number 1 to about serial number 3. It's got the brown AR-10 style furniture, charging handle in the top, not on the back, but chambered in 5.56. It also comes with a straight bodied 25 round magazine, just like the original.
Right. You know, you talk about the charging handles on the top, and what I always found funny is that we call it the charging handle.
Right.
And at the time it was a cover for we call it the carry handle, not
the carry handle, right.
The carry handle. But right. At the time it wasn't designed as a carry handle. It was designed as a cover for the charging.
For the charging handle and a place to hold the rear sight too. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So that's interesting. Now, you know, another thing that I've seen from Brownells, and I don't know if it happened before the, you know, once Brownells kind of got into the manufacturing, but where did the 1022 receivers come in?
Oh, yeah, the BRN22. Now, we don't sell those as complete guns. We sell those as receivers or even with barrels, too. But we're just the same folks were looking around saying, what do folks like to buy? And, of course, that style of semi-automatic 22 is extraordinarily popular. Mm-hmm. So they did some work and came up with some designs. And again, we don't try to compete directly with the 1022. We're not doing that at all. We don't sell them as complete guns. You still have to buy all the internals. Any standard 1022 piece that'll fit, a 1022 will fit on those too. But those are pretty darn popular as well.
Yeah.
In fact, we've even got some, the newest ones of those, of course, made for the takedown system.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, you know, the 1022 is one of the, if not the most, I don't want to say modified, accessorized, just customized, I guess, you know, that's out there. And where the receiver you guys have fills that niche or fills that void is, why would you go spend $300, you know, on a 1022 to strip everything off of it and replace the barrel and replace the stock and replace the trigger and replace the bolt and replace? It doesn't make any sense. Just get the receiver and then build what you want off of that.
Right. Well, some folks insist on it being a Ruger, and that's
true.
Fine. And we sell Ruger 1022s, and we're happy with that too. We love that too. But as you said, okay, I'm going to go in here, and I'm going to, if I search on the Brownells website, I just did this on my phone, Ruger 1022. There's 350 items on our website. Thanks. Rifle parts. There's 270 rifle parts for 1022. Magazines. There's 27 different kinds of 1022 magazines. We got 19 different things for optics and mounting. Yeah. Yeah, and 17 different versions of 1022s, the guns themselves. So, as you said, it's such a popular gun, and for great reason, because they're absolutely fantastic. We have 270 parts just for 1022. So we're okay with folks going, like you said, buy the gun and strip everything off and put it back new. And I'll be honest, I've wound up with extra 1022s more than once because I had one and I took everything off and replaced it and turned around and said, holy cow, I've got a whole other gun laying over here in parts.
Yep.
Oh, darn. I need a receiver.
Just need a receiver. Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. Now, you know, we first kicked this off, you were talking about Brownells and some of the relationships with the different companies and other things. And one company in particular comes to mind, and I don't know the history between this and Brownells or anything. And if you can fill in the gaps on this, do. But over the years with Brownells dealing with other companies, has Brownells ever absorbed another company?
Oh, yeah. Brownells, for example, Sinclair.
That's the one I was thinking
Sinclair
about.
Sinclair International. Yeah. Right. In fact, you can still get Sinclair stuff at brownells.com.
Right.
Sinclair now is more or less a house brand, but we're still doing the various Sinclair precision reloading. You can get the Arbor Press. You can get all the high-end dies. You can still get, I know one of the real popular products are the bore guides for your cleaning rod, so you don't damage the inside of your precision
rifle. Oh, the cleaning rods themselves. Sinclair cleaning rods are awesome.
But some of the really high-end expensive. Now, I like accurate rifles, but a lot of the folks who are Sinclair customers are bench rest shooters. And, you know, those guys, they get upset if the group is, you know, hundredths of an inch instead of thousandths of an inch or whatever, right?
Right, yeah.
And I understand that, and I appreciate that. That's the highest scientific level of shooting. That's just, right. I'm just not one of those guys.
Yeah.
But I absolutely respect and admire the folks who have that. Like the guys who will take one casing that's trimmed perfectly in fire form for their rifle and they're in their bench rest competition, they will shoot that casing and then reload it on the bench with all their Sinclair stuff and then shoot that casing and then reload it on the bench. I mean, that's whew, but they can do some amazing things. But yeah, you can absolutely still buy Sinclair International stuff at brownells.com.
Nice. Yeah, I can remember. I mean, that's been, do you know when that happened?
That was already a done deal when I started with the company in 2012. So it's been probably 10, 12 years. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I can remember Sinclair being a totally separate website,
right,
and a totally separate thing. And I'm thinking somewhere along the early 2000s, something like that, all of a sudden Sinclair went away and it's like, we're Sinclair. And then you pop over to Brownells and there's Sinclair. So it's like, okay, did they absorb them or what?
Yeah, Brownell family bought Sinclair, yeah.
So have there been any other companies over the years that you can talk about that Brownell's done that same thing with?
Another member of the Brownells family of companies is a wholesale company called Crow Shooting Supply.
Oh, okay.
Probably a lot of your viewers don't know that much about Crow because Crow is a business-to-business seller. They're a wholesaler. They'll sell to like big box stores or mom-and-pop gun shops. But they deal in wholesale guns, ammo, and a whole lot of clay targets too. So Crow Shooting Supply is definitely part of the Brownells family of companies.
Right. Mm-hmm. So what as far as... You talk about the SKUs. Would you say 100 and something thousand?
It varies. I know it's probably right around. I mean, I'd literally have to go ask the product folks to run a report to see how much. But it's usually somewhere around 100,000.
Definitely in the six figures. Then, yeah,
I have like 110,000 before.
Right.
And it fluctuates all the time. I've heard. And again, I don't really work on the product side, but I've heard that we pick up every week, we pick up several new products and we drop products.
Right.
When I give a tour, and one of the standard things I say, and I take folks out in the warehouse, I show them the warehouse. For me personally, the warehouse is always the most dangerous part of the tour. Because almost every single time I'm taking them through and I say, holy cats, we sell that? Sorry, honey, there goes this week's paycheck. Sorry about that. I got to get six of those.
Right.
I mean, there's no telling. I mean, one of the things, for example, and I don't know if we still have any, I literally have to go to the website and check, but I know we had, at one time, we had a large stack of 5.56 on M249 saw links. I think it was 800 round belts of 5.56, and I think it was 200 round belts of 7.62 by 5.1. So if you had an M240 you needed to feed, we had ammo for it.
Wow. Well, you know, the reason I asked is that with a variety of SKUs that's deep, mm-hmm. You know, when you talk about the type of person out there, the type of firearm owner, the type of, you know, gun enthusiast that mm-hmm. shops Brownells, mm-hmm. good Lord. I mean, is there any way to even try to narrow that down?
Not really. I mean, there's some categories we're not as strong in others. I shoot some black powder stuff. Mm-hmm. There's some videos floating around today of me shooting an 1853 Enfield rifle musket.
Nice.
I know we sold, I could get a 58 caliber mini ball mold, and I can get lead. I don't remember if musket caps are still on the website or not, and we don't sell actual real black powder. That's just a whole other level of regulatory red tape and all sorts of hoops you got to jump through to sell black powder. So we sell black powder substitutes, but we don't sell black powder. We've got, I'm trying to think of obscure stuff. We still got quite a few Mauser 98 parts. Like back in the 70s, you were talking about the Ruger 10/22. Back in the 60s and 70s, the thing that everybody was customizing was, of course, all the surplus Mauser 98s.
Yep.
Both either brought back by GIs after World War II, or then all the, good Lord, who knows how many different variants that came up for sale as military surplus from literally every continent in the world.
Right.
And of course, customizing, you get your Mauser from wherever, your Argentine 1909 Mauser for $30 at a gun store. And then, you know, you could turn it into a really good, cool custom deer rifle and still spend less than if you went to get a regular rifle. That's hard to do anymore because some of the Mausers, their collector price and value has gone up so high. But black powder, cowboy action, AR-15, 1911, Glock style pistols, polymer 80. We have a huge selection of polymer 80 for folks who want to roll their own. Precision shooting. I mean, just about any sort of shooting,
right?
We got stuff for.
Yeah,
we do not have the biggest selection because we're not highly specialized. Like there are some outlets out there that specialize in is like NRA high power style shooting. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we'll still have stuff for the NRA high power style shooter.
Yeah, and that's exactly where I was going with it. It seems like with Brownells, you know, you step back and you look at everything that's offered and all of this, and it's like, well, they're not really catering to the hunter. They're not really catering to the tactical people. They're not really catering to the gunsmith. They're not really, they're really not specialized in any type of sub niche of firearms. It's like, if you're into firearms at all, we got what you, what
we, you we got it. We got it. We always service the gunsmith. In fact, our catalog, our big book catalog, that was modified a couple of years ago. Almost 100% just gunsmith stuff now. I mean, I still get people asking me for catalog, and I tell them, okay, y'all, I'll send you one, but that's for gunsmiths now. You know, if you need a new type of 1911 trigger stoning fixture, dude, we got you, right? You need some files or some Arkansas stones or something like that. Oh yeah, you that's in the catalog. But there's no way, it's impossible. Usually it's like a third or less of the product line can make in the catalog, because we'd have to kill every single tree in North America
to
make the catalog. So that the best way to see it all is go to the website. We'll always serve the gunsmith customer, but one of our little sayings we like to say: if it goes in a gun, on a gun, through a gun goes it, or it is a gun. Mm-hmm. We got it.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, you know, the thought of staying true to, you know, starting out catering to the gunsmiths and stuff like that, I'm assuming that you guys are still looking at tools and fixtures and things for every new firearm that comes out, right?
Right. And we have on the product side of the house, we have people who are experts in certain product categories. For example, there's a person who handles rifle parts. There's a person who handles handgun parts. There's a person who specializes in gunsmithing tools, especially for handguns. In fact, one of our product people is himself also a gunsmith who is an active current building gunsmith. We also have a whole staff of what we call our gun techs. Our gun techs are an enormous source of knowledge, and they also have some input on certain products to pick up. Our gun techs are typically guys who spent 10, 15, in some cases 20 years running their own gunsmith shop or their own gun store. And then they got hired by Brownells for their expertise and their experience. And they answer our phones. We have you can call our tech helpline. You can call our 1-800 number and ask to speak to a gun tech and talk live with an actual real certified gunsmith and ask that person questions.
Now, you sure it's not outsourced to India or something?
It is not outsourced to India. No. In fact, one of our guys who retired not too long ago was for a couple of years, he was the president of the American Pistol Smiths Guild.
Wow.
I mean, he was a master 1911 builder.
That's pretty awesome.
But yeah, you can call our 800 number, ask to speak to a gun tech, and talk live with an actual real life gunsmith, a schooled certified gunsmith who's worked somewhere else as a gunsmith professionally, and ask those guys all the questions you want, and it's a completely free service.
That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you're having trouble with something and you think you need this part or that mm-hmm. part, mm-hmm. right? Or which part to order, I guess, right. A lot of times because you've got right. different variations of a part, right. something like that.
I mean, like I said, I was a gun guy since I was 8, but years before I ever worked at Brownells, I was a Brownells customer, and I've several times called the tech help before. So it was funny because I got to come work with some of the guys I talked to on the phone before.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's pretty awesome. I mean, wow, what a wealth of knowledge. You just don't think about, I don't know. I mean, I just don't envision. And I think it's because of what you said earlier. I think it's because of Pete and, you know, it being, you know, family owned, third generation family owned business. And you just don't think about it being as large and diverse, you know, Brownells as what it is, just because those guys have kind of kept a down home feel to it. Right.
Exactly. Very much. There's still, now we've been, of course, the last few years on the marketing side, we've been trying to expand that. And here's something funny. This is funny. Because Brownells was largely a catalog mail order company for like the first 60 years. I grew up in Arkansas. You may hear it in my voice from time to time, and I will say things like, y'all, everybody in Arkansas who's a gun person knows who Brownells is, right? Like you were talking about, you go to the gun store, and there's the catalog and all the Brownells stuff. For the first several years I lived here, nobody in Iowa knew who the heck we were. And we've been here since 1939, so we'd be like at the Iowa State Fair with our booth, and folks come up and go, Brownells, oh, yeah, my grandpa had one of your shotguns. He really liked it. And we'd go, you're probably thinking about Browning,
right?
Brownells,
right?
Oh yeah. But it was funny. We used to have running bets anytime we did like an outdoor sportsman show or the state fair, or one year Pheasants Forever was held in Des Moines. We'd have like running bets. How many people we would have to say, no, we're Brownells. I think you're thinking of Browning. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of interesting because of the nature of the catalog company. So many people outside of Iowa, especially in the states with large amounts of gun ownership, knew who. I mean, we go to NRA or SHOT Show, and you know, Brownells is a bunch of rock stars because, oh yeah, Brownells, dude, blah blah blah. But inside Iowa, not as much.
People don't even know it's in their own backyard. That's right. Crazy.
But especially since we got the retail store, we've been working real hard to change that.
Right. Now, you know, speaking of the retail store and the firearm side of things, is that something that's done through the retail store for people in Iowa?
You mean like transfers or what?
Like sales or transfers or whatever through the retail store.
Yeah, it's just a regular, I don't want to say regular, it's a very nice modern gun store.
Okay.
Anything we sell online, you can buy in the store. If it's not out there on the floor, we have a computer set up. You get on the computer and fill out your order, and it ships to you at the cash register. And they also deal extensively in used guns.
Wow.
They don't put the used guns on the internet.
Yeah, that'd be a nightmare.
Oh, Lord. The inventory changes literally every single day. Now, especially when I'm in the building, I make a habit of going down to the retail store about 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, just see what's come in.
Well, that's what I was fixing to ask for the people that are local. What kind of selection in the used is typically there? Pretty good.
It's usually between 1,500 to 1,800 or 1,900 individual firearms on sale at any given time.
Wow.
Especially the used guns. I know since lots of folks got real interested in buying ammo and guns when the first parts of this coronavirus stuff hit, that's been hit really hard. Some used guns are coming in, and there's no telling. There's no telling. For me personally, some of the highlights for me, I now own a Winchester Model 70 and 458 Winchester Magnum.
There you go.
Then I went down to the retail store, and there she was on the rack, and she was calling out my name, Roy, take me home.
Why the heck not?
Oh, why not? I have a 1935 Chilean Mauser in 7mm. I found that way. Some that I did not buy that I kicked myself. I've seen more than one Arisaka, Japanese 7.7mm, a couple with anti-aircraft sights intact come in. There was a 3 week period, we had a pair of trapdoor Springfields, one made in 1879, one made in 1882, on the same rack in the used guns. Different people brought them in. There is just, you just never know.
Now, how does that inventory come in? Is it people that come in looking to sell them or liquidating estates and just different, like any other gun shop?
Any other gun shop. There's some folks who are such regular customers. The people who work in the retail store know them on a first name basis.
Oh yeah.
They're the guys who, you know, they buy a gun, they keep it for a couple of months and come in and swap it for another.
There was a guy, I do local gun shop here that I work real closely with. And there's a customer in there that will literally walk in, fill out the paperwork, do all the stuff, open it up, go out back. Because there's a little range out back. You hear pop, 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 maybe three rounds. Come back in. I don't like it. And sell it to the gun shop for $100, $200 less than what he gave for it.
Right.
And order something else. Not even take it home.
Not even take it home. Oh, Lord. Now, we don't have a range on site. There's been talk in the past of maybe someday way down the road. We don't have a range on site.
Where's the testing for the manufacturing? Is that a different facility offsite?
We have Brownells owns a range called Big Springs, which is about 12 miles south of Searsboro. Big Springs is a really cool facility. If any video you see of me or anybody else at Brownell shooting a gun, if the range looks the same in all the videos, it's going to be Big Springs. There's a 500-yard range. There's a 100-yard range. There's a pair of 50-yard bays. And then I call it Millionaire Trap and Skeet Setup. And it's actual a literal skeet field with three trap stations. And then there's also Sporting Clays 5-stand.
Nice. Cool.
And so it's like 20-minute drive maybe.
Okay. So when there's R&D or something that needs to be done, you just pack up and go down there.
Go down there, yeah.
Yeah.
One of the things that used to happen down there, and I'm sad I missed out on, for about 6 years, and it ended literally just before I got hired at Brownells. Brownells actually had a contract to supply Department of Defense magazines. Now we're on YouTube here, right?
We'll be, man.
Can I handle a magazine?
You can handle the magazine, yes.
All right, just not a gun.
Well, you can handle it anyway because this isn't live.
Okay, so. This isn't live. Yeah. Okay, so I've got one of the Brownells magazines here. I don't know if you can see it, but it'll stay right there on the floor plate. Let me hold it up. There we go, Brownells. Mm-hmm. All right, and Brownells for a while, and it ended right before I started with the company, for about 6 years, had a contract to supply AR-15, M-16 magazines to the Department of Defense. And one of the things that would happen related with that is every so often they would have to batch test magazines through fully automatic M4 carbines. So they'd round up people, get them out to Big Springs. Now, it sounds a lot of fun, but unfortunately, the guns were all screwed down into fixtures, so you couldn't just sit there and just hose. They were screwed down to fixtures. You put the magazine in, or short burst, and then finish it off. Put it next magazine, short burst, finish it off. And then there were certain protocols. If there was a failure, they had to determine, was it a magazine failure? Was it an ammo failure? Was it a dirty gun failure? a whole government checklist, et cetera. But the magazines you can buy today are still made to the same standards. The only difference between a Brownells AR-15 magazine and a Department of Defense Brownells AR-15 M16 magazine is going to be the follower. Mm-hmm. Our current magazines will have a green follower like this, or a gray or a black follower. A Department of Defense Brownells contract magazine will have a desert tan follower, and that's because the follower is a piece of intellectual property that belongs to the Department of Defense, not us. So we can't sell those. I have seen some of those in the wild, and if you ever come across a Brownells Mark magazine with a desert tan follower, it's been liberated from a U.S. government installation somehow.
Right. Well, that's good to know for some people out there.
Yep.
Awesome. All right. I want to start winding things down, I think, here. But before we get out of here, I want to give you a chance to talk about Brownell's social media presence. Talk about the website. Throw that out there. I mean, people should be familiar. Yeah. It's pretty easy, but go ahead.
Check us out at brownells.com. We have an extensive set of YouTube videos. Just go to YouTube and search for Brownells. We've got it's approaching 2,000 videos, I think. I have to go and check. Wow. But we've got a whole bunch of videos on YouTube. We're constantly making more. We have a healthy Instagram account. Look for Brownells on Instagram. Also find us on Facebook, where there's even a Brownells TikTok thing going on. One of the things you'll see on our social media is I got my flag flying here. We got our Bureau of Propaganda. Anybody can try to get in the Bureau of Propaganda. We don't sell the flag. We also have a shirt that goes along with it and a morale patch. If anybody wants to get in the Bureau of Propaganda, the way you do it is you post pictures of yourself doing cool, interesting, fun, gun-related stuff. And then you at Brownells on Instagram or hashtag Brownells, and make sure Josh Coburn, who's our brand engagement manager who handles all of our social media, make sure he sees it. And if he deems your stuff is cool enough, yay, verily, shall you be put into the Bureau of Propaganda.
That's pretty cool. It's neat the way.
Yeah, you just search the hashtag Bureau of Propaganda. You'll see all sorts of really cool stuff, interesting stuff. I have to brag. That's my wife's design. She's, of course, graphic designer at Brownell. This is her design. We're constantly trying to find new, interesting ways to interact with folks on social media. Mm-hmm. So check us out.
Yeah. Well, Roy, again, thanks for dropping by, hanging out for about an hour here and chatting everything Brownells. I do appreciate it, man. And have a good weekend.
You too. It was very enjoyable, and I look forward to meeting you in person, Chris.
Thank you for joining in on another Firearm Friday. Don't forget to log on to clovertech.com. There you'll find our social media links, the blog, cool swag, and more. If you'd like to help support our projects and take advantage of some extra perks, you can do so over on Patreon at patreon.com/clovertech. Have a great weekend.